Our previous broadcast. You may contact Dr. Derek and or Connie Johnson at 337-424-1286 or 337-424-2286. Please join us for our broadcast already in progress.
Chapter 20. I'm going to read a few passages into your hearing, but I would implore you to, at your leisure, to read the entire chapter. 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, I will commence reading at verse number 1. And it came to pass after this also that the children of Moab and the children of Ammon and with them other besides the Ammonites came against Jehoshaphat to battle. Then there came some that told Jehoshaphat, saying, there cometh a great multitude against thee from beyond the sea on the side of Syria, and behold, they be in Hazar Tamar, which is in Gedi. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself to seek the Lord and proclaim a fast throughout all Judah. Now drop down to verses 14 through 18. Verse 14, and then Jehaziel, the son of Zechariah, and the son of Benaniah, and the son of Jeel, and the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the son of Asaph, came the Spirit of the Lord in the midst of the congregation. And he said, hearken, ye all Judah, and ye inhabitants of Jerusalem, and thou King Jehoshaphat, thus said the Lord unto you, be not afraid nor dismayed by reason of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's.
Amen.
Tomorrow go ye down against them. Behold, they come up by the cliff of Zeb, and ye shall find them at the end of the brook, before the wilderness of Jeruel. Ye shall not need to fight in this battle. Mm-hmm. Set yourselves,
yes.
Stand ye still, mm-hmm. and see the salvation of the Lord with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, fear not, nor be dismayed. Tomorrow go out against them, for the Lord will be with you. Uh-huh. The people of God and his word is already blessed. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. For a few moments, we want to use as a thought, responding to the unexpected. Responding to the unexpected. Tell your neighbor, the battle chose you.
The battle chose you.
Yes, Lord.
My brothers and sisters, people use the term pick your battles. They used the term to suggest that people would be well advised to select a specific issue of importance to focus on rather than trying to deal with too many things at once. Individuals may also hear this saying rendered as choose your battles. And many people append wisely when offering this piece of advice. As a general rule, it's extremely sound advice whether one is an individual struggling with personal issues or the leader of a country.
Oh, my Lord.
This phrase references a well-known aspect of military strategy, which suggests that when troops are thinly stretched, they are often unsuccessful.
Uh-huh.
Can I unpack this? Real quick, when a country tries to fight a war on two different fronts,
uh-huh.
tries to fight multiple enemies, it often struggles to secure the victory.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's more help to ensure, it's more advisable to deal with one issue before proceeding to the next to help ensure success. The more fronts a military is coping with, the harder it is to handle strategic and day-to-day operations on all these fronts. That's so true of even in life. We try to take on everything all at once. But how many of you know if you give it to God, if you give it to the right source, you don't even have to ball your fists. You don't have to go get no weapon.
That's right.
Because sometimes you don't choose your battles. Your battles choose you. So sometimes it can be tough to choose which battles to fight. Many people are faced with situations in which multiple issues seems equally important at some point in their life. And they may struggle to single out one to focus on. Sometimes it helps to ask for advice from a neutral party. And sometimes that neutral party don't even go to the same church you go to. It's not a part of your family. Don't have anything in common with you. But they can give you sound, godly, Christian, loving, unjudgmental advice. Some people find that if they pick their battles well, they can neutralize problems along the way as they address the most important issues first. It can also help to enlist godly individuals who know something about fighting. Amen. I don't want to ask somebody who ain't never been in a fight.
Amen.
Amen. So that's what I want to convey to us on this afternoon. This text surrounds the answered prayers of a king, a godly king, named King Jehoshaphat. This text surrounds itself with the answered prayers of a nation called Judah. And Jehoshaphat was the son of King Asa. And we know Asa was the king who was zealous in maintaining true worship of God and rooting out all idolatry. Because at one time in the life of Judah, you could not tell whether they were the enemy or whether they were God's people. They had intermingled themselves with the enemy. And so many times, my brothers and sisters, it's hard to tell a Christian from an unsaved individual.
Amen.
We dress alike. We talk alike. And we sin just alike. Can I get a witness? Jehoshaphat was a godly king. His reign is noted for adhering and obeying God's commands. He was the fourth king of Judah. He reigned over Judah for 25 years. He eradicated much of the pagan worship and provided the teachers of the Mosaic law. He reorganized the legal system by appointing judges in key cities with an appeals court in Jerusalem. He has been noted as one of the best and most pious and prosperous kings of Judah. His reputation among surrounding nations was, for the most part, impeccable. As a matter of fact, there were some surrounding nations which honored Jehoshaphat and often sent him tribute. Tell me, God won't make your enemies your footstool. Y'all know what a footstool is designed for. When you step up on a footstool, a footstool take you higher and higher. And
come on now. Amen. Yes, Lord.
Yeah,
he'll do it.
Yes, the text, we find Jehoshaphat here in this 20th chapter, surrounded by a coalition of armies, the Moabites, the Ammonites, and Edomites. This was quite peculiar to me, seeing how the Bible appears not to implicate any animosity between Jehoshaphat and the three kings of this coalition. It does, though, exemplify that often people can't stand to see you doing well for too long.
That's right.
I've learned, and perhaps Jehoshaphat gave some lessons as well. People don't always have to have a reason to want you to fail and fall.
Right.
They don't necessarily have to have any particular reason to see you falter. They don't have to have any reason to see you in your demise. They don't have to have any reason to see you being tormented. They don't have to have any reason to see you struggle.
Right.
In fact, often when you are doing your best to do God's will, that's when you can always count on Satan to lunch and an attack.
That's right.
Anybody in the house today real enough to admit that you've been going through some things that you didn't choose, which has tried to put you in a deep fear in your heart, not because you don't trust God or have faith in Him, but because some battles this past week chose you?
Amen. That's right.
That battle that you got from the doctor. That battle that you got in form of a peach slip saying your service is no longer needed. That battle.
Yeah, Lord.
When you look at your bank account turned into financial hardship. That battle.
Yeah. Come on now.
Sometimes battles choose you.
Yes, they do.
God says to Jehoshaphat, please read this when you get home.
Yeah.
God says, stop worrying and start worshiping.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Stop worrying and start worshiping. What I learned, I have to know my battles are the Lord. I have to fall at His feet and worship Him. I got to tell Him I don't know what to do. I got to ask Him to fight for me. I got to ask Him to show Himself strong in my life daily. Because I've learned that even in the midst of battles create worship. It wasn't until you got yourself in the midst of a battle that you learned how to worship God.
Oh, yeah.
Come on now.
Yes, Lord.
Thank
you, Jesus.
It's so very interesting. Jehoshaphat teaches us a great lesson about going into and facing adversities. We are taught by the immediate response of Jehoshaphat as he receives the report, Judah was surrounded by outside forces. You know what Jehoshaphat said? Let's pray.
Yeah.
I can remember grandmama with some trials and turmoil would come, not only just over one member of the family, but throughout the whole family.
Yeah.
Grandmama would say, y'all get on in here,
Let's pray. Yeah, right.
We don't do that no more, do we?
Nope.
We get ready to retaliate.
Yeah.
We forgot our weapons of warfare are not carnal.
Yeah, we're back to on the
He says, let's pray. You see, he meets his adversity with fasting and praying. Can I tell you this? Often the best weapon a child of God can use when confronted with trouble, turmoil, and tumult is prayer. In reality, the prayer prayed by the king in this country expresses the powerlessness of Judah and their trust in God. You do understand that prayer informs God of your willingness to be willingness and allows Him to take care of your matters.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Lord.
That's what we got to do as believers. We got to learn to give it over to God.
Oh, yes, we do. Yes, we do.
He understood the power of God.